for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Precious Heavenly Father, I just thank you this morning, Lord God, that there is an opportunity for us, Lord, as we are on mission, to rejoice with all of heaven when that sinner repents, Lord God. Lord, let us be mindful of the joy that is given when we are returned on to the point of our salvation. Lord, we see that when another sinner repents and gives her heart. Lord, I'm thankful that you met with the tax collectors. You met with the sinners. Lord, help us to meet with them today, Lord God. In each and every way, let us be on mission in 2020. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go as best I can today, but you could tell my voice still isn't 100% back, I suppose. I certainly can. And I'm going to go as best I can, and hopefully you can pray for me as we do. Lord will be good, and I won't run out of a voice. Amen? There's three parables here, and these parables are told by Jesus because of the same questioning and anger of the Pharisees and the scribes that come to him. And so these parables are told together, and we take them separately and then give you, you know, expository sermons on them. And today I, in the beginning at least, in this introduction, want to keep them a little bit together just out of respect of the gospel. Amen? And so if we keep these three parables together, what we first see is the first parable. Jesus Christ is talking about the shepherd who would leave the 99 for the one that is lost. He would go into the wilderness to find that one and bring it back. And we know that Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. Amen? And so this good shepherd is really the emphasis in that first parable. And if we identify the good shepherd in the gospel and the good news, John 10:10 tells us it's Jesus Christ. And so he is the point of the first parable, the Son of God. The second parable speaks about a woman who sweeps her house and has a light shining in it looking for a lost coin. And that woman is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses a bride of the church and lives in the bride of the church and uses the bride of the church to do the work of the church to help save the souls that are lost. Amen. And so it's identified as a Holy Spirit in the second parable, the second person of the Holy Trinity. And then in the last one, we see that it's the prodigal son. We see that it is the father whose heart is broken. He has given his inheritance to his son who goes and lives a life of unrighteousness and debauchery and comes back and longing. And the father is merciful and graceful and receives him and anoints him and gives him a robe and a ring and accepts him back into the family. And it is the love of the everlasting father. And if these three parables mean anything together in the scripture, it means that the Holy Spirit, the Son of God and the everlasting Father are in union, working as one for the salvation of men and women in the world still today. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Because that is the truth of it. We separate it. And maybe separating it is good because it's hard to get through a big passage of Scripture and get all those rich nuggets out of it. And so maybe that's why we separate it. Today, I just want to concentrate on this second parable. I'm being impressed that as we get ready to go on mission, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit needs to go before us. That we need to be instruments of the Holy Spirit while we're there. That I don't want to do one action that is not led by Him, and I want to leave left undone one action He's called us to do. I want to do all that God has given us to do as a mission team. I pray that for each and every member, that we are all responsive to the leading of the Holy Ghost as we go and we do all that He's called us to do. There is more than a physical work of the rebuilding of the church. There is a spiritual work of the rebuilding of the church. There will be sons and daughters of God Almighty who are lost, whether they are prodigals or they are the coin upon that floor, and they need to be revealed with the love of God that they might come to God and be received into His kindness and His kingdom. Amen. So I honestly believe that these three parables told by Jesus Christ were intended to exist together. He told them together. It was in the telling of one question from the Pharisees and the scribes. Why are you teaching to the tax collectors and the sinners? Why are you meeting and eating with them? So let's look a little further into the work of the Holy Spirit and really the church as told in the parable of our loving Savior Jesus Christ here. We know and we understand that this lost silver piece had to be found. She was going to labor until she found it. We understand that because we know the parable. But I believe that there's really three conditions of this silver piece. If we were to personify it, if we were to give it life, I think there would be three conditions to it. One is it was lost. This silver piece was lost, and there's men and women today who are lost. The second condition is it was sought for. There may be some of your sons and daughters who are prodigals, and or friends and neighbors, nieces and nephews, grandsons, granddaughters, who are being sought for. And this silver coin, if you give it a life, it was being sought for. So it's not only lost and it's not only sought, but it was found. And I think that's where the rejoicing really happens, in the finding. I'm happy that we're able to go on a mission trip, that we're on mission in 2020, that somehow God has amazingly and miraculously orchestrated that in the beginning of this year, I mean right on the cutting edge of 2020, we are on mission. I stand in awe of that. But I believe it's a lot more than just a physical getting on planes and going on a mission trip. I believe we have adjusted our focus. It is 2020. It is clear and there is a clarity to it. And we are going on mission. We are going to seek and save that which is lost. That's what we're doing. We are joining Jesus Christ in his kingdom work. So let's take a look at this silver piece that was lost. First thing, it was lost in the dust. The woman lost the silver piece. And to find it, she had to sweep for it. It's interesting because it had fallen to a dusty place. And men and women have fallen into the dusty place of this world. The dust hides and conceals them. And they cannot be found by the woman because of the sin and the debris and all of the darkness that surrounds them unless they pick up the instrument and start sweeping. There's an engaging in the work before there is a revealing of the lost. There might be some here this morning who are in a dusty place, a lost place of their own. Maybe they're in sin and they want God to reach out for them and they're looking for that and they know their need. But they need an instrument of God to come into their life and start engaging, sweeping away the dust and helping them. I would that you would take hope and learn from the parable before us today. The church of God and the Holy Spirit of God are seeking after men. And they are among the found pieces. That's what I would pray. That the ones we seek after, the ones we pray for, the names we put to these silver pieces would be found. They would no longer be lost, but they would be found. So the silver piece was lost in the dust. But here's an interesting thing about that silver piece. It was ignorant of being lost. It didn't know it was lost. It had no knowledge of its need. It just knew where it was. Silver coin is, you know, if you give it that living consciousness, that personification of being lost or sought after, it didn't even know that was happening. It was covered with dust. It couldn't see. And if you were on the ocean in need of someone to save you, and the waves were so high that you couldn't see, and the fog was so heavy that you couldn't see, you would not know that your rescuer was right there. And this is the state of the lost coin. It's ignorant of being lost. It was actually, quite honestly, if we could say, content in being lost. It's content in being lost. It doesn't know there's something better or something different there for it. It's just so with the sinner. They're spiritually dead in sin. They're unconscious to their state. They really don't know, and they need to have their eyes open. They must be awakened to their need of salvation. And we need to prayerfully pray for that silver piece to have that conscious revelation through the power of the Holy Spirit of their need to be saved. They need to know that they're sinners in need of being saved. They need to know that they're incapable of saving themselves, and all of us are incapable of saving them, but Jesus Christ already died on the cross that they might be saved. They need to know. Lost in the dust, it's ignorant of being lost. Here's a neat thing. It was lost, but it was not forgotten. It's lost, but it's not forgotten. This silver coin, it's laying somewhere in the house. Is there a silver coin somewhere in our house this morning? Because it can be lost, but you're not forgotten. God has not forgotten you. The woman knew how many silver pieces she had. She counted them. She lovingly looked over them. She cared for them. She knew well that all the pieces should have been in her possession, but one was missing. She knew that. The Holy Spirit's aware when a son or daughter is not in the kingdom of God where they need to be. The Holy Spirit is aware of this. It's our hope for the Lord's lost ones. They are lost but not forgotten. The heart of our Savior, Jesus Christ, remembers them, prays for them, He intercedes. And He sends the Holy Spirit to woo them and bring them home. Lost in the dust and ignorant of being lost. And lost but not forgotten. And it's interesting because I would say that the silver piece was lost but still claimed. She said, "That's my silver piece. It's lost." It was still claimed. Even though it wasn't in her possession, even though she didn't have it physically, she still connected to it intimately. My silver piece is lost. And I think sometimes we need to know that truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of an everlasting Father, and the ability of Jesus Christ to save a lost sinner, a son or a daughter gone, and the Holy Spirit's power to woo them unto Jesus Christ and into the family of God. My piece, which was lost. Though she lost possession of it, she did not lose her right to it. Do you understand that? Somebody here needs to understand that today. Though she lost possession of it, she did not lose her right to it. She still had a right to claim it. It was hers, and she did claim it. Even though it wasn't in her possession, she did not lose the right to still own it. And there's somebody here today. Maybe there's a prodigal. a son or a daughter you're praying for. And you just need to be encouraged. This is good news. You still have a right to it. You still have a right to that son, to that daughter. Just because you don't, or God doesn't physically possess it, doesn't mean you can't still claim it. You haven't lost your right. Those for whom Christ has died, whom he has redeemed, are not Satan's even when they're dead in sin. Jesus Christ could still bring them back. There's nobody who is ever too far from God for God to reach them. And we need to understand this, and we need to embrace this. So they were lost, but the silver coin was lost, but not hopelessly lost. She had hope of recovering the silver coin. She didn't despair in the work that she had to do. We don't hear in this parable anything about, woe's me, now I got to search the whole house. We didn't hear anything about, well, my God, I'm going to have to sweep the whole darn place. We didn't hear that. What we heard is she took a broom and began sweeping. She engaged in retrieving what she had lost. And this is what we need to understand. They may be lost, but they're not hopelessly lost. She had hope of recovering the silver piece. She did not despair, but she set to work. And that's what this congregation has decided to do. There are people who are lost, but they're not hopelessly lost. We have engaged in the mission, and we are going to seek and save that which is lost. And we're going to bring them home to the everlasting Father. He's going to embrace them, put a ring upon them, and a robe of righteousness, and welcome into his kingdom and his family as sons and daughters. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. It's not just a Bahamas trip. I mean, within just a couple months of being here, we went and did an outreach into the Red Bank. Let's not forget what God has been doing. This is on mission. We are on mission. We have never been off it. We just get a little clarity this year. We just get a little bit more this year. We started in a little, and it's grown into a little bit more. But I'm believing that 2020 is going to bring more than just one mission trip. More than just a couple souls. I believe that God's going to bring them by the hundreds and the thousands. I don't care if they ever go to church here. Oh, I want the church here to grow. Don't get me wrong. But I don't care if they ever come to church here. I care if they come to Christ. If they come to Christ and they're in his family and they're part of the kingdom, then I join with them and we will work together for the furtherance of the gospel. And so I'm going to go seek souls in Bahama. They'll never come to church here. Well, you know, possibly maybe one will make their way. You never know. However, what's the likelihood? Is it still worth searching for that lost silver coin? I say yes. I say yes. Here's an interesting thing. This lost coin, and I'm not sure any of us ever really think about this. When it was lost in the house. It was lost in the house. Do you get it? It really wasn't lost. It was right at home. It was right there, someplace. Just work a little, and there it is. And there may be people lost here. This is the house of the Lord. There may be people lost in your own homes, but they're not really that lost, are they? They're right at home, aren't they? In the house of the Lord, all they need to do is know that one bit about the Good Shepherd and the Everlasting Father. See, the woman knew that the coin was lost in the house. She knew where to start looking. Come on. Come on. Don't give me excuses that, well, Pastor, I don't know where to go find lost people to help them come to Christ. Hogwash. That's a Greek word for I don't believe it. And you know, because the simple fact is we all have friends. co-workers, people out in the community, and we have the Holy Spirit that lives in us, and he gives us discernment. How many times do you walk by somebody and you feel like, wow, I should have maybe prayed for them, or you know, just, yeah, it happens. And the simple fact of the matter is, the woman knew exactly where to begin working. And so do we. God's put you right in the midst of a field someplace. Start harvesting right there. Start reaping right there. Give you an opportunity this week. Right here. Actually, at the funeral home. A little bit from here. Victoria Wilson, some of you may know. Member of this congregation for many years. Passed on at the beginning of this year. They have asked me to do their funeral, and I've told them I'd be honored, privileged to do so. She wanted the pastor of Royal Ridge Church of God to do her funeral, and she's going to get exactly what she desired. So this Wednesday, I'll be doing that funeral. I've already spoken to her son, his wife. They're up from Florida. I'll be meeting with them tomorrow. You can be praying for your pastor. It's going to be a hard week. I have a mission trip to plan for. I have a family that I'm going to be leaving for a week. I have other things that need to go on. I'm trying to put together finances for our council meeting on Tuesday night. And so that we could then, you know, talk about the finances for the church for the next year. I'm trying to do all kinds of things. And in the midst of that, I just think, you know, here you go, one more. But I don't look at it as I'm unable to do this. I look at this, wow, God, what an honor. What a privilege. What an opportunity to find a lost coin amongst a family right in the home. Amen? Because that's what it is. And so if you want to join in, join in. Tomorrow in the obituaries in the newspaper, you'll see Victoria Wilson's obituary. Read it. Find out when the services are. Come on out. Be a part. I need the support. You might know somebody from years gone by. And if you do, you might be able to encourage them. You might be able to edify them. You might be able to equip them just a little bit. You might sweep the dust off that silver coin. It's not hard to find a place to labor, is it? Opportunities are immense, and the need is great. So this is just another opportunity. It's right here in our house. Not lost where it could never be found. Isn't that interesting? If it's lost right in your home, I mean, I can go out my backyard, and I know it pretty good, but when I go into, like, a couple of roads down backyard, I don't know it at all. I go across town into some community and walk into the house, I don't know it. I have to be told where the bathroom is. But when I'm in my own home, I know where everything is. I don't have to be told where to search, how to search. I know it. And so really, honestly, we know. And I believe it's not that it's so lost it could never be found. It's just that it needs someone to start looking, engaging in the process before it really truly is claimed by another. We have the opportunity to engage in the work of the Holy Spirit. The silver piece was sought. You see, the woman represents the bride of Christ and the Holy Spirit that lives in her. She's in a home. Whose home is it? The Father's. And this lost coin is right there. Never, never, never. It's an absolute. Never will a soul be lost that the Holy Spirit does not seek after. Jesus Christ tells us that God the Father desires that none would be lost, all would be saved. Now we know that the truth of that is some will refuse the gift of the Son. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and God the Father, that Holy Trinity, don't come together in their Holy Trinity and work for the furtherance of all that they desire. Because they will. And the Holy Spirit seeks each and every one. He's the great soul finder, the Holy Spirit. He's a great soul finder. He's a great soul sanctifier. He's a great soul saver in a lot of ways. He leads us and woos us to Jesus Christ. And then he sanctifies us and cleanses us of all unrighteousness, all sin, as we respond to his teaching. And then he fills us with his Spirit. And the souls are more than just souls. They're the sons and the daughters. They're the sons and daughters of not just you and I, but of Almighty God. Some are in a sinful state and some are in a sanctified, Spirit-filled state. But they're all sons and daughters. And he desires that none would be lost and all would come unto him. And he uses the church filled with the Holy Spirit to pick up a broom and start sweeping the house of the Lord to find that silver coin that's lost. So the church must seek souls. She cannot delegate it to another. Who other is going to do it? Are unsaved people going to save people? I mean, theoretically, God can do whatever he desires and absolutely could do that. But that's not his plan. He wants to engage us in the work. And I feel honored and privileged to just be a small part of some big work he's doing. Because it is a big work. It's a great work. You know, it's interesting because a woman, now I don't know about you, but I'm thinking this woman that got 10 silver coins, she ain't poor. Okay? I mean, it's not like she was a widow with 2 pence putting it in the offering. This lady got 10 silver coins that she's just hoarding, she's hanging on to. She's got them saved up for something else going on, okay? So she's got other income that she's spending. This is a part of her wealth that she has gained. And there's a difference between wealth and income. And so I don't think these 10 silver coins are a part of her income. I think they're a part of her wealth. That's just what I believe. But I also know this, okay? This woman probably had other business she could have been doing. She could have hired somebody with one of those coins to go sweep her house. She could have taken one of those coins, cut it up into a couple of different denarii, and said, I'll give you 2 denarii to go sweep my house. And stand there and watch the person sweep until they found the coin. Yep, that's mine. She didn't have to do the work, but she wanted to do the work. She felt required to do the work. She had a desire to do the work. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is telling us today. That we have a desire and a want. We don't need to do the work. He doesn't need us to do the work. But he desires for us. And we require that we then learn of God as we engage with him in the work of God. That's all so simple, isn't it? It's also interesting. She could have put it all aside and not even sought that coin. I mean, she had 9 more. She could have earned a couple more and just moved on in life. I mean, 1/10 isn't that much. But it meant a lot to her. The other thing is, she sought it with the best means possible. God, this is going to hurt. She could have got down like this and searched for that coin. Couldn't she have? Yeah, that's going to hurt. It's not usually the getting down, it's a getting up, huh? She could have searched a lot of ways for that coin, but she decided to use a broom. I don't know why she engaged the broom, but we have tools available to us. And sometimes we need to use those tools. So I'm thankful we get to go to the Bahamas on an airplane because my arms would get tired if I had to fly all that way. I will use every opportunity and every means available, audio, visual, megaphones. I don't care. I'll use whatever God has given us as a tool to reach the lost for Christ. She was using the best tool she had, and she swept the floor with it. We need to be using the best tools we have to reach all that God desires into his house. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. The last thing she did was she sought it by candlelight. Come on. Don't you understand that Jesus Christ is the light of the world? She sought it by candlelight. Now, she could have waited till day. If it was in her home and she knew it was lost in there, she didn't have to worry about it. She could have went to bed and said, you know what? But it was at night because she had to light a candle. And then she searched her room. In the cover of darkness, she went in with a light. Light always disperses darkness. Darkness never overcomes light. I don't care how dark of a room you're in. I don't care spiritually how dark it may seem. If you light a candle, darkness will go away. It will flee. Light always overcomes darkness. Jesus Christ said in John, I am the light of the world. He went on to say this, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Can we bring that light of life into this world? Can we light that candle? Can we be like that woman searching for that coin? Can we just say, you know what, Lord? I don't care how dark it is. I'm lighting a candle, and you are the light of the world. And I'm going to bring light and life to all that I can. The last area I want to talk about, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants to minister to us about today, is the silver piece was found. It wasn't just lost. Jesus did not leave us most helpless. In this parable, the parable is only two verses, very short couple of sentences, but it has such depth to it when you look at it. And the greatest thing about it is the silver coin was found. Let's just know that the silver coin was found. So the woman searched until it was found. She never quit searching. So it is with the Holy Spirit and the great design of God, the everlasting Father. Not that the sinner should be left in hopeless state, but that they should be found and saved from their place within the dusty place. That's what God intends. The woman found the silver herself. We spoke a little bit about this. It did not turn up by accident. Do you understand that? This silver piece did not turn up by accident. It's not like, oh, wow, look at what God has done. It was like, oh, no, let me get a broom, light a light, let me get to work, and oh, look at what God has done. So that old, you know, thing that gets in the back of some Christian's mind, well, I'm waiting for God to do something. You are the something God is waiting on. We need to be the woman with the broom, lighting the light and sweeping the room. Just saying it. It did not turn up by accident, nor did some neighbor find it for her. The Spirit of God himself led her to sweep that room, that home. And he helps us find sinners. And the church of God, the kingdom of God herself, as a rule, is the instrument of that discovery. When we walk in the Spirit of God, he leads us to the soul in need of his light and life. And he desires to use us. The woman rejoiced, and this is the last thing at its finding. I'm just going to say the greater the search, the greater the rejoicing. The longer the wait, the longer the rejoicing. I'm telling you, the closer the intimacy with the one who is saved, the greater the intimacy and the rejoicing. These are just spiritual truths. When my son gave his heart to Christ, when my daughters gave their heart to Christ, there was an intimacy and a rejoicing that was great. And I'm sure it is same with you and those around you who have come to God. What joy there is in the kingdom of God and all of heaven when a lost sinner is found. She shared her rejoicing with all her friends and all of her neighbors. She went out and spoke of it and called them in to rejoice with her. It was a time of great celebration. It was a time of revival. The rejoicing brings joy, and joy is shared by the church, the saved sinner, the neighbors, the friends, and all of heaven and earth, I might add, joined in that rejoicing.